اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك، وأن تزعني شكرك، وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكروك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك وبحمدك، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي، كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي، فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي، من لي غيرك؟ أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي، ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك، وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاؤك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي، معتذراً نادماً منكسراً مستقيلاً مستغفراً منيباً مقراً مذعناً معترفاً، لا أجد مفراً مما كان مني ولا مفزعاً أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري، وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي. يا إلهي وسيدي وربي، أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك، وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك، ولهج به لساني من ذكرك، واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيت أو تبعد من أدنيت أو تشرد من آويت أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي، أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة، وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة، وبشكرك مادحا، وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا، وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة، وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة، وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا، ما هكذا الظن بك، ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب، وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه، قليل مكثوه، يسير بقوه، قصير مدته، فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها، وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله، لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي، فكيف بي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين، يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي، لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته، فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي، صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك، وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك، أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك، فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهل هذا ضجيج الآملين، ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولأناديك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية أعمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين، أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك، ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك، ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك. يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجر زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع، لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين. وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا، وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته، كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولا، حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي، يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. قوي على خدمتك جوارحي، واشتد على العزيمة جوانحي، وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك، حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين، وأسرع إليك في البارزين، وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين، وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين، وأخافك مخافة الموقنين، وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد، ومن كادني فكيد، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وأخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، واعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقلني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي، فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك، وأمرتهم بدعائك، وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي، وبلغني مناي، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي، يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا، اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء، يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء، وطاعته غنى. ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء. يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقم، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام، يا عالما لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. One of the concepts that we have in the Holy Quran, I believe it is repeated, is the concept of dhikr, which is mentioned outside. I believe, if I remember right, وَلِسَانِي بِذِكْرِكَ لَهِجَ, if I remember that first word, I'm not sure if it has that lisan. Anyway, there's another line in Dua Kumail as well related to dhikr and it being constant. Besides the constant nature of dhikr, meaning the recommendation of dhikr, or otherwise in the English language known as remembering Allah or remembrance of the Lord, which we have spoken of and it's worthy of mention, it is important to know that with the tongue, essentially, although in order to kickstart it in a sense, in order to maybe get that focus and tie our attention down to something, we need words. Or once we get comfortable enough, I guess, in a sense, with the words, familiar enough with the words, because when we think, we also use words. It can be helpful that when we are remembering those phrases, those sentences, those words, to think. But the point we're making here is that essentially dhikr is that aspect of it which is within, the part that is not heard, the part that is not seen, the part that doesn't involve the tongue. The tongue may or may not be involved in the process of dhikr. And when the tongue is involved with dhikr, the heart may or may not be involved with dhikr. Sometimes we have our tongue moving very fast, very quickly, saying things, and we are not in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That isn't saying. I've seen this, and I was once, in the trap of thinking that this means that dhikr should not be done quickly. Until we found and we saw some of our great ulama. We had Ayatollah Khushwaq, may Allah bless his soul, he used to have khatm salawat sessions every week. Every Friday,
There was a session in Tehran where he would sit and people would come and they would do, I think, around 14, collectively together, 14,000 salawat every. When he would do the salawat, if you looked at how quickly he went through them, I would always be wondering, how the heck did you say that? You know, it's just, I'm trying to, Allahumma salli ala, as fast as I can say. He's running through them as though, you know, how can you even repeat those words? We came to know that, no, they do go through it very quickly, but that's because the mind and the heart is focused on it, and it's familiar enough with it that they go through that very quickly. So the point isn't for the words not to be said quickly, and that you need to say it slowly. Some people think that if you say it slowly, it's going to make your dhikr more at heart. No, you could say it slowly and still the same thing. Subhanallah. You're thinking of shaitan. Al-ayadu billah. It's not about saying it slowly. The saying it sometimes slowly can be make one vulnerable to riya, although I won't suggest thinking about that too much, but it does happen. The reason why I don't suggest thinking about that too much is for good believers, that becomes an obstacle. The fear of riya causes people not to do good deeds. That's not the way we're recommended. So, dhikr is something that needs to be part of our, I guess the word that comes to my mind is heart process. When you put the two ideas that were mentioned, one idea being that it needs to be in the heart, and the other being that it needs to be constant, then that means basically it needs to be part of your heart process. Anywhere, anytime, anything one is doing, then that can be done. The heart can be in the condition of dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person can be chit-chatting, they could be laughing, joking, eating. Other conditions that some even I have heard against what the Qur'an and what the Ahlul Bayt and what the Prophet have said, they refer to them as animalistic behavior. I don't know why they use these terms. For eating, for the engagement of the spouses physically with one another, they are referred to as animalistic things. I don't understand why that is. Those are not words that we find in the Qur'an or in the words of the Ahlul Bayt. That comes from another source. Whatever other source it is, it doesn't matter. Whoever has said it, it's wrong. These are not animal. These are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in fact, He likes that. Shaitan is the one that doesn't want husband and wife to be together physically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Don't call it something negative. Don't give it a negative term. It causes issues. A person's heart can be in the remembrance of Allah no matter what their condition is. Whether they're enjoying what seems to be material blessings, or if they're enjoying spiritual blessings, they're always in the state of dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one thing that needs to develop in us, and we need to get that going, is to get ourselves to be in that state of dhikr, constant dhikr. The heart being there. The heart constantly being in the form and in the state of dhikr and remembrance of Allah, even though this tongue may be saying something completely different. This tongue may actually be getting on to someone, maybe using words that Amir al-Mu'mineen, for instance, in a lecture, in a sermon, is using against the people of Kufa. He's scolding them. It's very negative language. There's anger involved. So what's on the tongue seems to be something completely different. At the level of the heart, it's full remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it's because of the remembrance of Allah in those conditions that are there, that Ali ibn Abi Talib expresses himself in regards to those conditions, and the way he, the tone of his voice, the words he's using, every aspect of it, none of it is out of control. None of it is losing sight of the presence of God and the ubudiyyah of Allah, and a person being the slave of God. In every second of my life, I have to do exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do. It's because of that dhikr that Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayhi behaves in this way. We've got to try to acquire that. We've got to move in that direction. We need to move towards where our tongue does not have to be involved in the process of dhikr. While I'm talking to someone else, my heart and my mind are in the state of dhikr. We need to move in that direction if we want to move towards where Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi is as our uswa, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and below him Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. We have to move in this direction. We have to get where our tongue doesn't have to say subhanallah while our heart is saying subhanallah. Our tongue is not saying alhamdulillah. My heart is saying alhamdulillah. In fact, when that starts to happen, then eventually there's no distinction between these alhamdulillah and subhanallah and la ilaha illallah, any of that. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to a point where a person at the same time is in the state of tasbih, saying subhanallah, and tahmid or hamd, saying alhamdulillah, and takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and tahleel, saying la ilaha illallah, at the very same time. And in a sense, in all the positions of the prayer, because these various positions of the prayer also represent a certain aspect of dhikr. It's like being in all those positions at the very same time, without the body being in those positions. The body may be sitting, the body may be laying down, not even facing the qibla, the opposite direction. But that's not important. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرْ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Righteousness is not about this direction or that direction. If God said for the wajib prayers, face that direction. Right? Other times did he say constantly face qibla? Absolutely not. He didn't. So, you're facing a completely different direction. But what is your heart facing? The heart comes to a point where it actually sees أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn your attention, that is the wajh, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their attention cannot go anywhere else. It's constantly, whether their bodies are facing the qibla, they're not. They're standing in prayer, they're not. Whatever they're doing, they're in the state of dhikr, in the state of prayer, in the state of sujood. And so we have to move in that direction. How do we move in that direction? How do we try to acquire that condition? There is there's steps of dhikr that need to be taken. These are dhikr needs to get to a point where the heart is consistently in the state of dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's like if you compare that, or if we use the parable of climbing a mountain, that's the peak of the mountain. That's where you would want to get to. We're way down here, we may even not have started moving up. We're still in the lowest point of the valley before even starting uphill to go up the mountain. But that's where we're headed. That's the climax. That's the peak. That's where you want to arrive at. There's steps to take in dhikr. What are the steps? The first step that we have the Ahlul Bayt mentioned in this way, because the Quran mentions it in different ways. One hadith we have, I forget the chapter in Al-Kafi, we have it, I believe it's in, I'm not sure which chapter. It's in the first two volumes. I'm not sure if it's Kitab al-Iman wal-Kufr or one of the others. I think it's in Kitab al-Iman wal-Kufr. There's a section on Dhikr, but there's other chapters as well. I'm not sure, but it's in the first two volumes. Anyway, the Imam encourages everyone to be in the state of dhikr. Then he says, I don't mean subhanallah and la ilaha illallah. Rather, what I mean is remembering Allah in regards to his halal and haram. Anything I want to do, remember, did God say this is okay? Did he say it's forbidden? Did he say it's wajib? What did he say about this? Make sure you do your wajib and make sure you avoid haram. When you're speaking, avoid backbiting. Identify what it is, what ghibah is, what the other sins of the tongue are. When you're speaking, before you say it, is God pleased with this or not? Is this something that he has allowed me to say? Or is it not? If he's allowed me to say it, I'll say it. If he hasn't allowed me, I don't say it. Before I do it, remember Allah, make sure. This is a basic, this is the most basic form of dhikr. This is the first step of dhikr. If anyone is unwilling to take this step of dhikr, they're not willing to be careful and think of Allah before doing anything, before starting a business, before making a transaction, before buying something, before selling something, before talking to someone, before marriage, before whatever. If I'm not willing to remember He is the Lord, He tells me what I'm allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do, what I must do, what I'm recommended to do, and whatever else. Focus being what I am forbidden of doing and what is wajib. I have to be careful of those. That's the first level of dhikr. If I'm not willing to do that, then it doesn't matter how many times I repeat subhanallah. I'm practically going against subhanallah. When that time of remembering He, when I say subhanallah, it means He is God and no one else is God. That's what I say. And then in action, God said, don't do this. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to do this. So I am God. It's never going to happen. Never going to develop the higher stages of dhikr. This is one thing that we need to constantly be careful of. And without this, we can never establish anything above this. This is the foundation. You can't build a structure. It's a type of foundation. You just can't. It's like the pole of the tent, if we may. You can have all the things tied. You're never going to have a standing tent if you don't set that pole up. Okay, you just have everything on the ground. You're never going to have a standing tent. You can have fabric or whatever, but it's not going to be a tent until you put that pole up. Take that pole down, it's all gone. Without this, it's impossible. There's no way. There are many of us that want to take a shortcut. We don't like being careful with this. There's too many cases where we have to sacrifice things that we don't like to. Difficult choices. We don't want to do that. But then we read about these urafa, ulama, this, that, the other. We like to get way up there. And then, okay, let me find where it says what to do. There's this dhikr. If you say this dhikr, it's not going to do anything if this form of dhikr is not done. While we're practicing this, because we're going to fail, we're going to try. And anytime we fail, anytime we go against what God has said, we forget God, we do it afterwards, we remember. We have to do tawbah, we have to do istighfar. Remember, When we remember, feel bad, feel guilt, feel regret, and ask God for forgiveness, and tell Him, I don't want to do it, sorry, it slipped my mind, I forgot about this, I got busy with that, whatever, you know, these are different wordings that we can use. Generally, the idea of repentance and tawbah, that's part of it. We keep doing that, inshallah, we're going to get better and better at that. And the other thing is, all these different adhkar that we've been told, the various ones, I don't know if you guys have heard or not, but it may come your way if it hasn't already. I remember when we used to try to go, you know, the desire to be like these ulama and these urafa is always there, even for horrible people like myself. So you go around, you try to, you know, listen, you know, is there anything? And one place I remember this was being mentioned a lot in the Q&As, because anyone who was like into wanting to develop themselves in a spiritual way or whatever, they would gather in these Q&A sessions with Ayatollah Khushfah. Of course, with others as well, but the ones that I spent more time with were these Q&A sessions with Ayatollah Khushfah. Kept asking about numbers, like how many times do you say this dhikr? How many times do you say that dhikr? And then outside of those sessions, guys talking about, oh, you know, this number, numbers are for, you have to have a teacher for numbers. Numbers make a huge difference. If it's 500 or 6, Ayatollah Khushfah used to always say, doesn't have a number. Doesn't have a number. The hadith, for instance, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi said, the best person, you want me to tell you, he tells his companions, do you want me to tell you who the best person on the face of the earth is? They said, Ya Rasulullah, please. He said, the one who says, La ilaha illallah, 1,000 or 100 times, I think it starts with 100 times a day. Then he says, do you want me to tell you who's better than he? He said, please, Ya Rasulullah. He says, the one who says it more. Now, how many more? No particular number. 100 is like to push you to at least say 100. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. These are not things that you need numbers for. Okay. It's not about, just whatever you remember. Salawat. Okay. One of the greatest adhkar that we have, a very, very interesting combination of dhikr, tawassul, shafa'ah. It's really a very strong combination, very effective. It has tawheed in it, it has tawassul in it, it has everything in it. It doesn't have to have any number. You don't need to count how many it is. I know some people, they would use the tasbih just to, again, the same way that the tongue needs to move for your, at a lower stage to be able to get the heart to think of dhikr. The tasbih is just there as a reminder so that, you know, they get busy with something else. They just feel the tasbih, they remember, oh, dhikr, they keep doing it. So they're not really counting how many times they've said this or that. These various adhkar, the second thing we're saying besides that, for that dhikr of Allah, when there's halal and haram and wajib and so on and so forth, is that there's plenty of adhkar. And one of the highest forms of dhikr is prayer. There's various prayers as well. Because prayer is a form of dhikr that you're not only saying things, you're also, your position, the standing position, the ruku' position, and all of that is there. You need to be in tahara, you need to have wudu for regular dhikr, you don't need to have that. So a climax of dhikr is prayer. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Besides the wajib prayers, which falls under the first category, we said, remembering Allah when there's wajib, prayer times comes in, that's wajib. Other salawat, other prayers that we have, all of these prayers have been introduced to us by the Ahlul Bayt. Wallah, there's benefit to them. Otherwise, the Ahlul Bayt wouldn't introduce us to these forms. The prayer of Imam Al-Jawad, salamullah alayhi. If I remember correctly, I don't know, I read it. Doing it is another thing. I think it's 10 times. I forget how many rak'ah it is. It's maybe 2, maybe more. I don't remember exactly. But the surah that's repeated in it is Surah Al-Insan. If I remember correctly, 10 times. Maybe it's more, maybe. So Imam Al-Jawad has introduced us to this prayer. Imam Al-Jawad had nothing to do except for guiding us. This has been given in all those conditions that he had, these 25 years he lived in this world. He spent to guide us. He's presented us with this prayer, Salat of Imam Al-Jawad. He used to do it in a way where people would see and then copy it off of that, off of him, learn it and do it. There's a benefit to it. Not suggesting do it every other day, but once at least in our lifetimes, do that prayer. Let's do the prayer of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. Set aside, you know, you want to do workouts. This is the standing position is prolonged. You're going to burn a lot of calories. Instead of going to the gym, you spend an hour and a half going to the gym, working out. This one is a combination. You get your dhikr, you get your... It's a little more tiring, of course. You got to stand in that position. And it's not as satisfying because maybe the scenery you see in the gym is more... for some, more appealing. But there's nothing there. It's just dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's beneficial. They have guided us through these various forms of dhikr that they have given us to do every now and then, this one, that one. It doesn't have to be every single one of them. A few of them at least do every now and then. And one of the foundations of dhikr is that tasbih aspect. Tasbih is remembering that none other than God is God. And that means nobody has anything except for Him. The focus here being right now that I don't have anything and it's all His. And that in the context of going up that mountain and getting to that peak of dhikr, I need to realize that I can't do it. He needs to give it to me. And that needs to be part of the dhikr. And if we do that, inshallah, Allah will take us, guide us, and we will get closer and closer to Him. And our hearts will be more and more in His remembrance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause. We heard the news came that Sheikh Zakzaki has been released. Initially, they said that he was discharged in a legal way, and we were waiting because I remember in the past there was a time where he was acquitted or found innocent at some point in the court. And I read a post. They said it was 2016. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. Whatever. At some point, there was another time that the court had said, but he hadn't been released. So I was waiting for that news. We did get confirmation that he has been released as well. And another piece of news that I'm not sure of, I can't really trust somebody posting something with a picture, God knows when it's from or whatever, on social media. If I know the person and I know they verify things, one thing, but something popping up, I don't know. We know he was in a difficult medical condition. And a couple years ago, people tried to get him the medical attention that he needed. And he was flown to India. But the way it was done, unfortunately, and the people that were involved, and I hope that believers realize that some of those who are acting as though they're part of the movement and they're helping up, they're actually working for the wrong side. Be careful of those. Try to identify them. This is according to the Quran. We need to identify them. Otherwise, things like that happen. All that effort went into getting him out of the country, getting the medical attention. They got him to India, out of all places. And that had already been prearranged. He got there, no medical attention. Had to go back. Same conditions continuing. So anyhow, it seems like it was said that he was leaving to go get medical treatment. I don't know where this time. I don't know who's involved. Alhamdulillah for his release. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him and all of the leaders of our communities and the ulama and manaja, and above all our leader. We ask Allah to protect them all, especially from shayateen. What we should always pray for the non-ma'sumi. The ma'sumeen, of course, even them, we have Allahumma kulli waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-hasan. We're praying for the 12th imam in this dua. And we're asking God to guide him. Now, but it's a, you know, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always guided them. They will always be guided. That's something we know. The others, though, the best dua we can make is not that they are physically protected. A person may physically be killed, assassinated, tortured. Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, Shahid Beheshti, all these great ulama of the past, the recent ones that we're aware of, they all sacrificed their lives, and that was an honor for them. And that wasn't a bad thing for them, and it wasn't a bad thing for the movement, just like the Shahada of Imam al-Hussein was the victory of Islam. It wasn't a bad thing for Islam either. What is bad for the person and for that movement in any country is for that leader to be affected by the shayateen in their views. For one to change course from that of Allah, from that of Islam, from the direction of the Ahlul Bayt, from the direction of the 12th Imam, to a different direction through all these pressures. That's what they want. That's what they want. They want the likes of Sheikh Zakzaki to deviate from the path they're on. I don't think Sheikh Zakzaki has already, I think if I remember correctly, 5 or 6 of his children he's already given in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not something he's concerned about. He is concerned, we should make dua, is that all this pressure is for him to give in even slightly. The Quran says in Surah Al-Qalam, waddu law tudhinu fayudhinun. They wad, you know, the mawadda, al-mawaddata fil qurba, that comes from this root. Waddu is the verb of it. Waddu, they really like. They love. For what? لو تدهنوا فيدهنون. That you just get lenience just a little bit. Loosen up just a little bit. فيدهنون. They're willing to loosen up as well. They'll loosen up the difficulties, just you loosen up a little bit. That's all they want, just a little bit. That little bit going off course is a great accomplishment for them. They push really hard, all these hardships, putting Sheikh Zakzaki in those conditions, killing his followers, killing his children, putting him in those medical conditions, and keeping him detained without access to what he needs, without access to people. All this is for what? To get him to change his course. The greatest dua we can make for him is that he continues like his master, Sayyid al-Shuhada, and our master, all Sayyid al-Shuhada, Amir al-Mu'mineen, until the last drop of blood, we continue on the same path. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him and that movement more strength. And those who oppose in that country, that is a Muslim country, or semi at least, some have said more than that, but the enemies of Islam that are affecting that country negatively, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove those obstacles and to allow Islam to flourish there, and for the people to live under the guidance of Islam and reach prosperity due to that, inshallah. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Salawat.